Blog Talk Radio.
Well, welcome to the Stay Up podcast. My name is Jim Dacian. I'm author of the book Stay Up Los Angeles Street Art. And this morning I have a special guest. His name is DeForest Lawn, and you may have known him or seen his work signed under the name Thefel, or T-H-E-F-L. Welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks for having me, Jim.
Yeah, I appreciate it. I've seen your work from afar for a long time, so it's nice to finally be in touch and put a voice to the artwork.
Yeah, definitely. I'm not mumbling today, which is good, so you can hear me.
Yeah, I appreciate it. And I appreciate the early morning too. Sometimes the schedule is not on an artist's clock, and I'm certainly one to talk. I prefer much later nights than I do early mornings. So to start off, I mean, the Forest Lawn is an unusual name. I mean, it brings to mind a cemetery, when I hear it first off. Can you tell me a little bit about the name, Forest Lawn?
Yeah, no, it's definitely directly connected to that cemetery, which, I used to kind of frequent and be, I guess, just as a kid, had a interesting kind of interest, I guess. Interest. But, yeah, I just had an interest with cemeteries, and then later on, as an adult, and I got a little bit more philosophical, had a the moment of death really intrigues me, not the circumstances of death, but the moment of it. Mm-hmm. I think it's a really beautiful thing. So it's a peaceful moment, and you get a lot of moments, I guess, when you're creating as a creator, kind of just allows you to enjoy them and strip your ego. So it's a little involved. I don't think about all that when I'm creating, but it's a long name I adopted earlier, actually, under a pen name and also for music. And then when I started doing public art, it was just too long to write out. You know, every time having to write out the Forest Lawn or cut out the Forest Lawn, it was just too much. So I just collected the necessary letters and put T-H-E-F-L, and that's what I've stuck with public art-wise.
Hmm. So yeah. How do folks react against that then? I mean, when they hear your interest in afterlife or death or that moment that you're talking about, I mean, how does that go over?
I think for the most part, when I explain the reasoning behind it, usually mm-hmm. people can dig that because it's a shared experience. Like everyone has that, moment. No one gets to know what it is. So it is the shared human experience, even though it's at the end of our course, wherever that may be. So it is definitely a little dark. Some of my artwork can be dark, but a lot of it is also, full of life. So I some artists may, adopt the name, and it may be a storyline to their artwork. For me, it's just a name that I had for a while. And, actually when I create, I don't put a lot of thought into stuff, and I know that may come off a little weird, but for me it's just about the process of creating. So people usually usually won't explain it too in depth to people, but if they're curious, I'm never afraid to share about its origins.
Mm-hmm. So are you a spiritual guy then? Would you categorize yourself as that?
Yeah, definitely. I'm open to continually be educated by others, ideas and thoughts and, beliefs, because there's always something to learn, and that definitely goes into play too when you're creating. There's always something to take and learn from another artist, because, I just come from the thought that, nothing's wholly original, but your processes and your experiences are completely original and unique to you. So, yeah, definitely always something to learn. Consider myself a spiritual cat for the most part,
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, even the way you're talking about creating, you didn't put much thought into it, which sounds as though it's more of an intuitive process. You make decisions as you go. You react to the mark you make. Would that be appropriate to say?
Yeah, yeah, definitely. And that mindset actually started to, you know, become more and more permanent in the creative process. Because when you're outside, you know, you can have a quick short game plan, but you also don't have a lot of time. Unless you're, sometimes I'll do unsanctioned murals in really public areas.
I like that term, unsanctioned murals.
You know,
okay, that's fantastic.
You know?
Sorry.
And there's a nice rush, you know, about, you know, just creating on the fly and using whatever materials you have and the existing canvas to make something and not really having an idea of what you're doing. I personally like that. And then, you know, that's evident when I do stuff on the, you know, smaller canvases or drawings too. It's, I'm not trying to think too much, and I get to look at it afterwards and see if there's a story there or how, you know, selfishly I can relate to it. Because, you know, art for me is, it is a selfish process. You know, I'm doing it for me because it makes me happy and something I just need to do. So.
Yeah, there's something to be said about that reflective process. A lot of folks would call it tacit knowledge or something along those lines, when you're creating and you're not fully aware of the scope of what you're doing, and you're making many, many decisions that doesn't fit into like a linear way of thinking. And it's only afterwards,
definitely,
after you've created, that you're able to think about the various decisions you did make and to put it in some sort of sequence so it could be told as a story or it can be communicated. So in many ways, it's a very deep way of thinking, and it's not surface level at all. It's much more complicated than something that you could just plan out.
Yeah, definitely.
And so it sounds exactly what you're doing. That's part of that art making process that is just so valuable, and why folks like myself, when we see something that you've created, can keep coming back to it because we learn a little bit more each time. I think that's an interesting aspect of your making. The imagery that I see, you said sometimes it's dark, and I'd agree with you, sometimes it is, but it also can be very whimsical as well, and not in a floating, in a light way. There's a certain joy. Could you say a little bit more about the type of imagery that you make?
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of been like a little evolution. Started out just doing these hand-cut stencils where I pretty much wouldn't sketch the stencil out at all, and I'd get all these different characters and shapes, and they had like a kind of a woodcut feel, just because there wasn't a previous drawing to, you know, or an outline. You're just cutting basically with a knife and with negative space, and you're creating a lot of these like little faces and characters, and the wood blocks, the way they look to me at least, they're like wood etchings, had like a folky art feel to it. And then, you know, just exploring more and appreciating more artists like Chamios and these two guys in Brazil, Las Mujeres. I can't like pronounce their name, but it's basically Brazilian for the bearded ladies, and they do a lot of these characters. Creepy from Australia. A lot of these artists who I'm inspired by, like I saw their stuff, and I was just like, that is so cool. Like, it wanted me to progress past just using stencils, because as a process artist, you know, the cutting the stencil is fun. You know, you take like, you know, hours to do it, but the actual process it's a quick spray and then it's gone. Like, the experience is really short. So to be able to, you know, eventually progress and just only use aerosol, which is what I do now, and just use spray cans, the lengthening of the process was gratifying, but also the characters that I started doing were from these artists that I really loved. Like, their art made me feel really happy, and I've always sketched in that certain style, but to be able to put it on a bigger canvas outside was really gratifying and scary at the same time, because, you know, I don't know what a lot of these little characters mean, but there's like an innocence. I think it taps into a lot of like childhood stuff for me. And, you know, at the end of the day, if I can look at it, it makes me feel happy. And if I can get one other person to have some sort of positive feeling out of it, then the job's done, you know.
Yeah,
but in terms of like a story for a lot of these characters, I think they all have their like little individual stories after the fact.
Yeah, it's interesting. I hear you say a few things. I mean, you really love this process, and that is something that's encouraging. It makes you want to keep going back for more, almost like an addiction, but a very positive one. The process of making something, you know, the idea that you didn't want to just do stencils because it cuts that experience short. There's something really wonderful that happens within that. So I hear you say that, and I think that's encouraging for art students to hear as well. You know, that you know, there's something that you need to find your way in the visual arts, and find that place that makes you happy, and that you will continue to make more work if you have that. If it's a burden, that's not a good thing. So very much so. So I also hear you say a few terms that I thought were particularly interesting. You said public art. You said unsanctioned murals or murals. And then you've also worked on canvas and paper. I mean, do you use the term street art at all? I mean, is that something that you see within your vocabulary or what you do?
I can. Sometimes I don't know, sometimes I like shy away from it. Just, I guess, because of the way it's been popularized and its connotation, which is sometimes really positive, and other times I don't know what to make out of it. But I noticed actually as of late, and I'm not sure why, I've been using unsanctioned murals and public art. I really like the term public art because, you know, it kind of covers the entire scope. I feel like street art maybe, you know, kind of takes the definition of more just like urban and recent artwork that's been coming about in the streets. But public art covers, you know, murals that have been done, you know, before I was born, or, you know, way back. It just covers, and for me it's like a broader spectrum of the opportunity to create, because I'd like to, you know, venture into sculpture and venture into other things in the public arena, and don't want to, I guess, pigeonhole myself into just doing as a street artist. There's canvas everywhere in the public arena, so, you know,
it professionalizes this a little bit, doesn't it? And it, you know, I think I've said this quite a few times, but street art exists somewhere between the professional art world and what you're talking about, public art, and also the world of graffiti. And it's as though there are folks that are very romantic about street art, that it is only this one type of very small thing. And there's others that really see it as this very broad spectrum that includes all types of public art. And that, you know, that's a legitimate way to go and to think about an evolution and growth in your work, and not to limit it towards something. Because street art, you're right, there is a certain connotation that has come with it. And you mentioned that there's some positive and negative things about it. Could you say a little bit more about that?
Yeah, I mean, I guess the negative side, like, probably not too much. I think it's just like my own personalization of the term street art and like how I feel about it. But on the positive side, you know, it's just like it's another word and another definition for what's going on and has been going on for around the world. And, you know, I guess I can't speak too much to the word itself because I don't hold a lot to it. I just like that, you know, for the majority, I guess it's a positive thing in the world. Like I think you can say, like, you know, street art to, you know, this person, or, you know, this person does street art and introduce it to someone who maybe be averse to graffiti, and you could gain a follower or someone who appreciates, you know, what you do. Unfortunately, like the, you know, graffiti, the term graffiti, when you say it to a lot of people, they get turned off by it, and that's a shame too. So,
yeah, graffiti has become a much more dangerous term, and it represents something that's not understood. And street art seems to be much more sanctioned, and it's been brought indoors, and it's safer. And the connotation that goes with street art seems to be one of respectability, and it's kind of okay. But again, those still blur. But I understand what you're saying about the positive aspects of something like street art. It represents accessibility, doesn't it? There is something very positive in the mainstream with that term. But then the negative would be the limitations of it. And you're right.
Correct.
When you're put in that bucket, can you get out of it?
Right.
And certainly we see folks doing that, but it always sort of chases them and can be used. So Shepard Fairey, I use as an example, that there's someone who, right, we could say is a street artist, but certainly someone who is much far beyond that as well. But that term always comes up in a review or criticism of his work and can be used against him in some sort of way. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, I mean, definitely. I mean, his medium was, you know, wheat pasting for a long time. But, you know, there's guys back, like, in the 60s, like Saul Bass, who, you know, he's a famous, you know, he did titles for movies like, you know, Vertigo and everything. And he used to wheat paste his artwork around town, but he wasn't classified as a street artist. And he was just an artist who was sharing his art in a different way and presenting it. But, like, Shepard, I think that was his main, his primary first canvases were the street. So, you know, I feel like you can get away. I mean, for me, I just consider myself a creator and an artist, and like everywhere's a canvas, like, and the street's just another opportunity. So I don't feel like, or I don't ever want to be just limited to just being someone who's known on the street. Like, I just, for me, it's just creation, like every opportunity. And, you know, when you paint outside, it's a completely different feeling. You know, I write the word feel a lot on a lot of my pieces, and only recently I've been really realizing how, like, why I write that. And, you know, for me, like, it's a lot of these moments in creative processes, it's just about, like, how it makes me feel. And
it's a good answer. I mean, the representing or mentioning Saul Bass is a good example, and certainly brings up another point is, you know, folks like yourself come from very, let's say, you're very educated in terms of the way you think about the arts. This is not something that is self-taught. This is something that, just to reference Saul Bass as a graphic designer, is an important thing. And being aware of that history.
Got a good father.
Okay. So, I mean,
it's true. It comes from a lot of stuff, conversations. Because I, for a lot of stuff, I'm completely self-taught with, you know, pretty any creative thing I do. But fortunately, I grew up in a household where they just encouraged creativity, and, you know, also had parents who wanted to show us about other creative types before our time, you know.
And facilitating that, which not everyone grows up with. And so that's a very fortunate context in which to be. So what do you see yourself doing as you're going forward? What are some big projects that you're working on right now?
It's not a giant project, but it's a humbling one. It's a collaboration with Scepterhead and then Mecca, Seth, so the seventh letter. But he's based out of Detroit, and we're doing a three-way canvas right now. And Mecca started the first part of the canvas and then is mailing it to Scepterhead or myself. And then one of us will work on one, and then we'll finish it up. But we're also videotaping the entire process right now. So it's three different artists on one canvas, and we may do a series of them, but really excited about that. I always get really humbled to work with artists who primarily have been graffiti artists their entire life, because there's also, and that's another conversation, is, you know, the street artist, when you take that term, does not get a lot of respect from the graffiti art world at all, just because they're two different, like, completely different lifestyles, and the motives behind creation and the processes are completely different from when you take a graffiti artist or a bomber versus someone who's, you know, wheat pasting or stenciling. There's a, like, or, you know, there's a big divide of respect, and that goes a lot too in the street art world or the public art world. I guess from just making the transition to only working in aerosol, I've had some opportunities where I've been given that respect from graffiti artists, and that really makes me feel good. So I'm excited to do that. And then for me, it's just my plans are just to create till I die, continue to learn, continue to grow. From the business side, I'm not too good at it. I don't concern myself too much with the business side. It's always great to do a show or whatever, but, you know, I do this for me, and right now I'd like to go take a life drawing class at like Art Center to learn more about form and light, you know, because for me it's just all self-taught, so I am ignorant and uneducated and have no problem saying that in a lot of, you know, ways. But I do want to go take some classes. You know, I'm a 30-year-old man and haven't had made the opportunity to take a lot of, you know, art classes, you know, and I'd just like to learn form so I can properly break it down. Like, I want to, like, learn more. So, I guess as a creator, it's just keep creating and never stop learning for me. Like, that's all I want to do, you know, and just grow.
That's great. Trying to
refine my focus. It's pretty simple for me.
It's refreshing, and it's I think it just seems so much of the professional art world we hide behind these brands or these myths that we create of ourselves, and I think the way you're sharing is it's endearing, and it's motivating, and I think it's wonderful. And it's a good thing. I think it'll be encouraging for other folks who want to grow themselves. And the thing is, we're always growing, aren't we? I mean, no matter how learned or schooled you are, it's a huge part of becoming an artist, because it is a hard, hard discipline to become a master of, and you constantly have to be a student. You constantly have to be doing it.
It truly is. Like anything, you know, it always helps if you love it and it's in your heart, you know. If it's in your heart and you love it, I find myself, you know, lately I've been picking up old books, and I found this Encyclopedia Day in the alley. And I consider that street art, too. A lot of the canvases I do are brought in from the street, brought in from the alleys, brought in from wherever I find them, and then I work on them. You know, it's on a canvas, but the canvas is a bed box spring mattress that I found in the street that was piss on it that'll, like, clean off, you know, like something that's completely discarded, you know, but already has the character and the weather of the city. And, you know, it's always just a learning process and seeing, like, what else you can, you know, take from the city and the surrounding artists that are creating in the city, because there's so many people just doing beautiful, beautiful, amazing, adaptive, interesting things, and that's on a global scale. Like, I'm, you know, looking at the, you know, thank God for technology, like with Instagram and, you know, Facebook and all these things, you are being, you're exposed to a lot more creative people in the world, and it really, truly is inspiring. And if you're able to just get outside of yourself for a moment, you realize the possibilities of what you can do as an artist, you know, which is, you know, all I want to do. I just want to keep growing and have fun with it. You know, if it's not fun, then why do it? You know, but for me, I can't stop doing it.
That's awesome. I think that's a good note to end on, and a very encouraging one as we go forward. So for folks listening, where could they go to learn more about the Forest Lawn? Where could we point them?
Sure. I'm really active on Instagram. It's at THEFL. Really easy to follow. Post there often. Also posting other artists' work that I find inspiring when I'm traveling around. And then theforestlawn.com. It's just like the cemetery. You can also go Facebook / The Forest Lawn as well. So pretty easy to find, and, you know, we'll be preparing to do a couple of more big things in the local Los Angeles area. More unsanctioned murals, but those locations are TBA.
Great. I appreciate it. This has been a lot of fun. I feel like I've learned
too.
A lot about your work. Yeah, so look forward to seeing more, and I'll definitely be following you as well. So very much appreciate your time.
Yeah. And thank you for taking the time to create that book. You know, I feel any, like, anthropological, you know, or presentations of what's going on with art and public art is just essential. So thank you for taking the time to do that, and, you know, it really helps the community.
Yeah, it's my pleasure. It's actually probably the most fun I've ever had working on a book because I get to interact with folks like yourself and it's a learning process. It's learning about what's important to the artists that are doing things out there in the public sphere, and I think it's making a huge difference and making splashes in the art world and amongst the general community. So it's a wonderful movement and a wonderful genre. So, yeah, thank you. All right, so if you're interested in learning more about future podcasts or want to check out past ones, you can visit us on our Facebook site, Stay Up Los Angeles Street Art. But until then, we'll let the music take us out. Thank you, The Forest Lawn, once again, and we'll see you next time.